Live from our virtual recording studio and brought to you by Duncan Hines Apple Cinnamon Muffin Mix. So moist, so delicious, and so much more. I'm Delmon.
And I'm Alicious.
And this is EQ2 Talk. You have got to be kidding me. That is the best that we could come up with for theme music? That was horrible.
Well, we're a little low budget, though.
That is very true. This is what you get when you're free. You know what? Do me a favor. Add that to the list of things we need to fix before episode 2.
Alrighty.
Get new theme music.
Get new theme music.
All right.
Check.
But, as you say, this is what happens during episode 1 and when you're lowballing it. So this is our inaugural episode, our first edition of EQ2 Talk. I guess don't take us out of the Mylar plastic if you're a collector. this could be worth something someday, Allie.
I suppose it could be to someone. So or it could just end up in someone's basement ready for a garage sale.
Collecting dust next to a pile of decorative birdhouses, perhaps.
Perhaps.
So we are recording here on June 25th, so mark your calendars. Add us to great moments in history for June 25th. So you're probably sitting there wondering, who are these two and why am I listening to them? Are they just two clowns with an internet connection and a microphone?
Probably.
So Ellie, why don't you explain why we're not two clowns with an internet connection and a microphone?
Well, as Del said, this is EQ2 Talk. We are Delmon and Alicious. We're just a couple of players. We love the game EQ2, and we wanted to just talk about it and offer some opinions and speak freely and maybe say some things that other people agree with or disagree with. You know, we're not experts on anything, as our website will tell you, but just here to chat.
Absolutely. The podcast is a great format for doing that.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people enjoy listening to them. And it's a great way to kind of get what we're thinking about EQ2 out to folks and see if they have some of the same opinions that we have about the game that we do enjoy playing, huh?
Exactly.
How long are our shows going to be about?
About an hour. So a little snippet, something to do maybe when you're crafting and bored out of your mind.
A great thing to listen to when you're crafting. And how often are we going to do shows?
I don't know. Maybe every couple weeks or so, hopefully.
That sounds great. Now, so we're trying to get our feet under ourselves, so bear with us during this first ever EQ2 Talk as we kind of figure out where we're going to go with this. As Ali said, our website, EQ2Talk.com, is a work in progress, would you say?
I would say, most definitely. And as you can tell, we have no theme music.
Absolutely. Well, we will have theme music. It's on the list of things to do, along with many other things.
Now it is on the list.
I have to say, I do like it a little bit. It's kind of snazzy. I do believe in the KISS, the Keep It Simple Stupid.
Right.
And I think it fits that niche. And I hope folks take a look at it and, you know, try it out. We're going to be always adding some new content to it as we get more comfortable with it. Neither Allie or I are website experts. So we should maybe right now give a quick plug to Jethel
yes.
Silverwing, if I can get that out correctly, from kithacore.org, who is a WordPerfect expert. Not WordPerfect. Do they still even ship WordPerfect?
I don't think so.
WordPress expert. Wow, really, really dating my technology there, aren't I?
Yes, you are dating yourself.
So we do want to give him a huge shout-out and a thank you. Helped us get ourselves going. I think we would still be trying to connect two HTML tags together and make a spark if we were doing it solo without his assistance. So
yes.
Thank you very much to him.
Thank you, Jethel. And your chocolate chip cookies are on their way.
To me? Oh, to him.
No, unfortunately, no. You have enough cookies.
That is true. I have eaten far too many cookies in my time.
And muffins this week,
yes. Thanks to the wonderful people over there at Duncan Hines and their delicious apple cinnamon muffin mix. We've talked a little bit about what EQ2 Talk is. Allie, what isn't EQ2 Talk?
Well, It's not a muffin.
Dang.
It's not a place you would go to find useful information.
All right, way to sell us down the river in episode one.
We're not a database of any sort. You're not going to get any kind of advice on your characters. I think it's pretty safe to say we're not the right people to be offering any such advice. So that's probably a good thing that we're just here to talk at you.
Yeah, I think what we're going to give is opinions and commentary. We're not necessarily going to tell you what the best way to maximize DPS on the third named encounter in the Palace of Rowan Thier is.
Right. And we're not going to give you a walkthrough of a heritage quest.
Exactly. We might talk about the heritage quest and what we think of it and some of the zones and some of the steps that were involved, but we're not going to say, go to location XYZ and click on this. There are better sites out there. There are some fantastic resources out on the web that talk about that technical detail far better than we can. We're just going to offer our opinions, thoughts, commentary, what we like, what we dislike, what we'd like to see improved.
And hopefully you have some opinion too.
Absolutely.
Maybe agree with us a little bit.
And hopefully they will share their opinions with us.
I hope so.
As we go along. All right, so let's talk a little bit about ourselves. Who we are.
Okay.
How we got here. And why folks want to listen to us.
Okie dokie.
So, Allie, what level character are you in?
Well, Alicious is 90. Ranger.
A ranger. Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes, I'm a wood elf.
I'm even further sorry to hear that. Are you like the cliche wood elf ranger?
What's the you tell me, Del. What is a cliche wood elf ranger?
Dead on pull.
No. No, I have actually learned to bring a healer with me. This, you know, in the last 6 years, I've learned one thing.
And that's where I come in, perhaps, as the level 90 Templar.
Perhaps. Or perhaps a mystic.
You're already not wanting to group with me here. Fair enough. That's okay, because I probably wouldn't heal you anyways, because I'd be off grabbing a shiny.
Shinies.
And probably aggroing all the mobs around that shiny to get
yes, through. And then getting mad at me for pulling or not killing fast enough.
Absolutely. I would immediately blame the puller. Immediately blame the puller in that case.
Yes.
So are you into trade skilling at all?
Yes, as a matter of fact. I wouldn't say it's my favorite thing to do, but it's strangely addictive.
Okay.
I don't know how else to describe trade skilling. Alicious is a 90 carpenter, your other favorite class, I know.
Wow, you have just racked up all sorts of DKP with me. That's Dharma Delmon Karma points, of course. Well, what made you choose the carpenter?
To be honest, I picked that at launch. I wanted to make furniture to decorate my house with.
Oy vey. You can't see it right now, but that little blood vessel in my forehead is twitching.
Yeah. You can hear it pulsing through the earphone.
Yeah. I can't believe that you are actually, though, not a woodworker. I just assume, like every ranger, because they need arrows, is a woodworker.
I briefly entertained the notion to do that, but I figured, why be a woodworker when I can, you know, the only thing a woodworker makes that I want are arrows. I wanted to do,
so
I don't know, I wanted to make furniture. Because it was really cool looking. And I had no plans when I started playing of maxing out my tune. I basically just, I played the low-end game for probably 3 years. Just taking my time.
Sure. What made you decide to try to level a little harder?
I was tired of getting left behind by all my friends. And everybody else was doing all the cool, fun stuff. And I got to vicariously see dragons, but I never actually got to see any dragons. It was all about seeing the dragon. I just wanted to see and kill or try to kill a dragon. Just hearing about friends, getting tells from friends during a raid and hearing about how cool looking this mob is, or, you know, how crazy this spell effect it looks and what's going on. And I just, you know, just hearing about it was enough to get me to motivate me.
I can absolutely agree with that desire to want to be, you know, part of it, and as opposed to just reading about it or seeing it or reading a blog story or something, being part of the action, being part of the team that's making the kill, as opposed to just seeing the screenshot of it after the effect.
Right. And the screenshot, I mean, as much as, you know, there's some really great screenshots out there, that's a static moment in time. And actually being there and seeing this dragon big as life, you know, moving around and stomping on people, it's, you know, it's pretty cool.
And being part of the team that takes that down, it's so much more exciting to be part of the team as opposed to, you know, the spectator in the stands watching it or something like that, or seeing the YouTube video of it after the fact. Again, being part of it and getting that Permigrin moment. Yes, we took it out, especially after many deaths and a lot of experience death.
Exactly. You mentioned the Permigrin moment. I've only actually had one of those.
Share with us your Permigrin moment.
Well, ironically, it was not a dragon. It was Veneral Sithir.
I thought you were going to say it was meeting me, but okay.
No, Del. It was killing Veneral Sithir for the first time successfully after many, many attempts. This is pre-nerf, quote-unquote, back when it was harder.
Back when mana mana both high and low.
Yes. And it was, for us at the time, that was the top of where we were struggling with raiding. We hadn't yet gone into VP.
Okay. Well, right. You would have had to kill VS first to get to VP.
I think you only needed somebody who's killed Leviathan.
I guess.
Well, in any case, it doesn't matter. But I needed it for my mythical update as a ranger.
That's very true. Very true.
Yes.
I was just going to say the VS encounter was one of those encounters that kind of broke the back of a lot of players, because it was a very technical encounter in that it took all 24 people paying attention and knowing the encounter and understanding all the mechanics of it. You couldn't just go in there with six people and tell a bunch of other people, okay, just stand over here and do nothing. They all had to be actively involved in that encounter. And if they weren't, there was an instant fail condition. There was no recovery practically.
But, you know, honestly, I think after going so many times and going with people that I know and knowing those people, I think it's safe to say that even if everyone is paying 100% attention, you can still fail. You know, there are little things, there are so many elements going on in that fight, or there used to be anyway, that it's possible.
You could almost perhaps say folks not only needed to be on their A game, but they needed to be on their A++++ game for that encounter.
Right.
Because any slip up, and it was that fail condition, and there was just no recovery.
Right.
It was wiped. Fortunately, it was a short zone, so you could get back after you wiped, you know, pick yourselves back up and get going again. But you made that simple mistake, and boom, it was pretty much over, and pretty quickly. It didn't take
too long. Yeah, then you have to start all over again. So yeah, that was my Permigrin moment, as you like to call it.
Sure. Let me share my Permigrin moment.
Absolutely.
It was back in Echoes of Fëanor days.
Okay.
The final boss mob of that expansion was Mayong Mistmoor. And there were multiple versions of him at that time, but the one we were most focused on was the Mistmoor Inner Sanctum one. Mm-hmm. And it was for the Swords of Destiny quest, the last step in Swords of Destiny. And we went into MMIS week after week after week. And back then, you had to clear the whole thing. You know, you kind of started at the beginning and you worked all your way. And there were many encounters along the way before finally getting to him. EOF was winding down. And what expansion came out after EOF? Rise of Kunark? Runes of Kunark. Rise or Rue, Rise. R-O-K. R-O-K covers me. And we were getting down to that, and it was going to be a level increase. So it was kind of this little mission of our raiding alliance to finish that encounter before the level increase. Because once the level increase came along and new AAs and all that stuff and new gear, it's kind of cheap in the fight a little bit.
Yeah, so, you just power through it pretty
exactly.
much.
Exactly. So the last, like, I would say week and a half to 2 weeks, we really kind of put the hammer down, and we went in there full force, full tilt, and spent maybe a little extra time every night to try to get through it. And I remember it was the Sunday night. It was our last raid night before our ROK. Our ROK was going to release on a Tuesday. It was a Sunday night, and we got him. We finally beat him on the Sunday night, just right before quitting time, for our normal ending time. Got him down, and we got our Swords of Destiny just before Rise of Kunark came out. And I know many people in the raid that night stood around in Kinos Harbor with their swords, their new swords out, just to kind of show off, do the catwalk of their gear and leave themselves logged in all night to show it off. Because that
even
was
if you only got to brag for about 24 hours.
Absolutely, but it was our 24 hours to have Permagrin, and it was a great accomplishment because we put in a lot of time, a lot of effort. Those 24 people, you know, night in and night out, working very hard, trying to get it down, trying to bring their A-plus game, their A++ game those nights, so we could finally beat that encounter. So that, to me, was my Permagrin moment in game. That we set a deadline. I often sometimes also call it my Mayong moment. I want to kill the end mob before the next expansion, before that new gear, AAs, and that sort of stuff, because it means I beat it in that expansion. Granted, there were other versions of Mayong that were far more hard that we didn't beat, but we at least got one Mayong down, which was nice.
Hey, that was your little something about Del.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little about who Del is, now that we've heard your Mayong moment.
Absolutely. I'm a level 90 Templar. My name's Delmon. I'm a cashier from Des Moines, Iowa. And I'm really happy to play the game, Chuck. No.
And can you tell us your class, please? Or your race, please?
The super password is Templar. Yes, I've always been the Templar or the healer. Comes from EverQuest 1, where I was actually the Dwarven Cleric there as well. And even before that, playing pen and paper in college and whatnot, I was always the Dwarven healer back then as well in D&D pen and paper games. So I've just always been the healer. And when our D&D group kind of moved on in life, we weren't in college anymore, we started getting homes, families, jobs, couldn't stay up all night to play anymore. Somebody came along and said, hey, there's this really cool thing called EverQuest. It's like D&D online. We should play this because we can all play from home. And everybody got into it, and I said, puckshaw, I'm not paying for a game and then paying a subscription service on top of that. If I buy the box, I don't have to pay monthly. I think at the time we had all bought Baldur's Gate, maybe, was it too? I'm not paying for that. So they all started playing, and you got to get into this, you got to get into this. And I'm like, nah. So finally, I broke down and I bought it. And that day, I wish that day had never happened at times. What a wonderful game, an amazing game. Pulled me in. I became you could say, perhaps a little addicted to it. I loved it. I enjoyed it. All the accomplishments, all the new things to see. It really was, to me, Dungeons & Dragons online, kind of. And all the things we had seen in this 3D world. You know, this was amazing. And all these other people and all these new places to go and things to see and acronyms I had never heard of. Why do people keep asking for me to talk in Pacific Standard Time? I don't know what time it is out there.
So were you one of those people who was logged in for 3 days straight
when you first played? Yeah, probably. Well, no.
With the empty Diet Coke cans lined up in a row next to you and the bag of chips, the crumbs hunk of, all over.
The hunk of cheese and pepperoni still hanging off my face from a day and a half ago.
Yeah, little scraps of paper littering the floor around you.
Yes and no. I will say, yes, I was playing constantly for that first weekend, I think. The problem was I wasn't playing consistently. And I'll share a little noob story with you because I think a lot of gamers might relate to this story. Was when I first made my character, I named him Delmon after Del Monitor, which was what was on my desktop at the time. And I made him and I was playing with him and he got killed. I don't know, something killed me. I don't know, probably an orc. A blue-looking orc thing. So I thought, well, just like pen and paper days, I crinkle up my character and I throw him away. He's dead. So that's what I did. I threw away my tune, and I had to make another one, but the system wouldn't let me make another character. So I made Mondel, the reverse of Delmon. And guess what? He died, too.
Now, you're saying that you deleted your character?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I did not know there was something called revive or corpse recovery or anything like that. I thought you died and the game was over.
So you just started. For the EQ noob, I briefly played EQ, very briefly between games. Why would you not know you couldn't revive?
Because in pen and paper days, when your character died, you crinkled up the paper and you turned it into the DM and said, well, I guess I'm dead.
But now you're online.
This was all new to me.
You're telling me there's no revive button?
Well, you have to remember, you didn't play EQ1 back in the day, right? The interface was very limited. Maybe I can find a screenshot of it. Maybe we'll add that to the posts that we're going to do about screenshots on our website.
Another thing for the list of things to do.
Yes, add that to the list. The interface to EQ2 was not what we have today. You had a block. Everything was affixed on your screen. You only had 8 buttons to cast spells with, I think. We didn't have hotbars. We didn't have all these fancy slash commands or hail. You know, you typed hail and then you typed their name. It was very, very old school. Hardcore, we liked it, and we ordered more accounts because of it, of course. So, no, I did not know there was a revive. And I'll tell you, the manual back then was like a sheet of paper. That's all it was. It was kill or be killed. So, I did not know that's what happened, that you could revive. And certainly, nor did I know you could loot your stuff. So, I just deleted them. And, of course, on the ground, I think you would see your character laying there dead. As another character, your corpse just laid there, dead. Even if you were logged out of the game, you just laid there dead, I think. Oh, yeah.
So you're actually in the world still.
In the world, laying dead on the ground. Absolutely, yeah, I think so.
Fodder for the snakes and badgers.
Yeah, and the little owl people, they lived outside Kaladim. Because I started as a dwarf, obviously, and newbie dwarfs start right outside Kaladim. And I think the little owl people there, or eagle people, whatever you call them, aviacs, were there. You want another noob story that makes me even sound more like a doofus playing?
Sure.
All right. Well, at nighttime in-game, it gets dark, right? Because the sun goes down. When it got dark, I couldn't see anymore. So I kind of stopped and just stood there and waited the 12 hours of darkness because I couldn't see anything.
Well, 12 hours of game time darkness, how long is that in real time in EverQuest?
Like, I don't know, 26, 27, 28 minutes, something, maybe a half an hour. So I would stand still because, again, I couldn't, my whole screen just faded to black, or the visualization, you could still see the buttons, but I couldn't see anything. And sometimes I would get killed while standing there. I usually tried to find a tree to stand next to a tree. Honest to God, I would stand next to trees in darkness.
Well, I have to say, Del, even I, who only played EQ for maybe 3 or 4 months, figured out immediately how to make the screen brighter.
Right. So I'm at, like, 2 weeks later, we are at our fantasy football draft. The same guys who I played pen and paper D&D with, and the same guys who had all convinced me to go buy this thing, EverQuest. And we're talking about it, and I'm sitting there explaining, well, yeah, this game really sucks because, you know, every half an hour I got to stand around for a half an hour and do nothing because it's too dark out to see. Somebody goes, you chump, slide your gamma bar up and you can make it light all the time. I'll tell you,
then there was no turning back.
I foregoed the last 4 rounds of the draft. I said, I got to leave right now. I said, just pick whoever you want for me and put them on my team. I have to drive home right now so I can load up EverQuest and find this gamma setting. Talk about night and day.
Yeah.
I could play consistently now.
Literally, night and day.
Absolutely. So I always share those two stories about how much of a complete noob I was when I first bought the game. All the armor had the same icon, much like we kind of have today. Mm-hmm. All the types of armor had the same icon. So I'm running around in a cloth hat, although the bronze hat, which has the same icon, drops or something like that, which would be an upgrade, Well, I didn't know. It has the same picture, so it must be the same hat. So I didn't put
didn't
it on.
Did you have a mouse over tooltips or inspect?
We had an inspect, I think. But I'll be damned if I remember how I did it or how long it took me to realize that not every item in the game had a unique icon to it. I was actually paying, when you level and you can get the skill ups for what you swimming or something like that, or archery or crushing or stuff like that, you get 5 points for every level. Well, in EQ1, there were trainers. So when I dinged, I would run to the trainer and pay him 5 gold to give me 1 skill up in crushing. I didn't know you get those naturally just by playing the game. I learned that.
You mean you paid money for something?
I thought you had to. I thought that was the only way to get your crushing to go up or something.
Did you try to petition to get your money back?
No, because I don't know if we had petition back then. Remember, this was old school. This was hardcore. You died and you deleted your character. That's all I thought.
Right. And you stood around by trees in the dark.
I stood around by trees in the dark. So absolutely, I have come a long way. Well, I like to think I've come a long way. I really have not. I still do stand next to trees in the darkness.
Fast forwarding back to present day.
Yes, absolutely. The wonderful trip down memory lane, of course.
We could sit here all night and talk about Days of Yore, but...
But that's EverQuest 1.
This is actually EQ2 talk.
Absolutely.
Not EQ talk. Let's go into... today, you didn't tell us what you make. Are you a trade skiller?
I'm absolutely a trade skiller. I would describe my play style as I always want my $15 a month worth. So if there's something in-game to consume, I'm going to do it. So be it trade skilling, be it adventuring, be it grouping, soloing, shiny collecting, everything just about but house decorating. I'll do.
Well, that's part of the game, too.
I know. So I will say I do draw the line right there at house decorating.
Do you wear parents' armor, Del?
And I don't wear parents' armor. My Achilles' heels.
That's part of the game, too.
Actually, let me take that back. I have worn appearance armor. During Frostfell season, I will put on a cap. During Brew Day, I will put on the Brew Day cloak, or Irelisi Day, I'll put on the cloaks for that. But I don't wear them full-time because, it's kind of like wearing white after Labor Day. You don't want to wear an Irelisi Day cloak after Valentine's Day. I just look like
You know what, though? A beer mug is always good to carry around in your appearance slot.
That, yes, and I did do that for a while. I'll tell you what I do, though. I use my appearance slot for carrying spare items in.
That's cheating.
Well, when I run out of bag space, I got to put this really cool stuff somewhere. So that's what I do. I use it for that. I use it for extra storage. That's one thing. Wow. EQ2, there's never enough storage.
There's so much storage.
Well, yes, there's a ton of storage if you throw things away.
No.
If you are the compulsive pack rat.
You can still be a pack rat.
How
if you have multiple characters.
Okay, well, all right. Yes, I do. And maybe that's another part of my odd play style. I don't have...
How many bank slots are there?
What do they go? 3 across, 5 across, 5 across, 3 deep?
4 across, 3 down.
Okay.
How many is that, Del?
I was told there'd be no math during EQ2 talk, but I believe it's 12.
That would be 12. And then in your shared bank, 4 across, 2 deep. So that's a total of... 20 bank slots, okay?
Yes.
Then you have your house, which you're probably a cheapie and have the 5 silver newbie house, don't you?
No, I will say I have moved into the largest house in Kinos, which I don't know what it costs because I never pay the rent on it, but it's the 5 room with the biggest bank slots. Okay. I bought it for just that reason.
Your vault holds, my vault holds 6, I'm sorry, it might be 6 or 8.
Okay.
No, it's only 6. It's
okay.
Only 6.
Fair enough.
Okay. And then for each one of those vault slots, you have a broker slot. That's 6 more.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We're now up to 32.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in each one of those slots, you can put the biggest box in the game.
Yes.
Which holds, I don't know.
40?
I don't know. 40, 40.
I think it's 40.
I think it's 40. Okay.
40 will help with even math, because I fear that's where we're going.
Well, I have my little calculator out.
Fair enough.
Now we're getting to double digits. So that's 1,280 spaces.
I took my sock off and it still didn't help. Okay.
So you can use your broker. If you don't want to sell stuff, you could actually sell stuff out of one container, which is what I do, my 10% container.
That's what I do.
Our storage of either a dormant recipe making.
The powders, the fragments.
All that stuff.
Yep.
Books that I'm not at yet. I sell furniture out of one. So technically I sell out of two. And then I have four more for just storage. That's quite a lot of space. But then I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 alts.
All right. So you got a lot of – so there is a lot of space. But I'll be honest. I'm a day one player who had this belief – at one time in the game, got to buy one of everything. So when Frostfell the first year was only like a candle and a wreath, I got one of those. And then the next year it was a candle, a wreath, a tree, and another type of tree. So now I have all of those. And then other holidays came in, Brewfest, yeah. Tinkerfest,
Well,
Love
you know,
Fest.
I have to admit, I've done the same thing. I used to collect one of everything. And if it was a holiday, I had to go buy one of everything.
Did that same thing too.
Yes.
Snow globes. My God, the snow globes.
Oh, yeah, I have tons of those. They're right now in the bedroom of one of my alts.
Right.
I don't know. It's my, you know, my dad's got this theory. Put things in a box and put them in the basement. And if you don't open the box in a year, you can get rid of it because you really don't need that stuff. I can't grasp that concept in game for some reason.
I need to do that.
Stuff. I can purge my basement. Well, except for the birdhouses.
Yes.
I can't seem to do that in the virtual world.
I do too, because I had this original fear of, oh my God, what if they don't bring that back? I need to be able to link that to somebody in 4 years from now so I look really cool.
Well,
and I've yet to break myself of that habit. I'm getting better at it, but it is a sickness. But at least I'm acknowledging it. And maybe someday I'll be able to do something about it. Don't know.
Maybe there's a support group out there for you.
Absolutely. So as I said, I'm one of those persons who needs to have everything, needs to do everything in game. So, but I am, and because, well, not I am, but because of that, I am a one-tomb guy. I only have the Templar. I do have alts, but I would call them more mules than they are alts. I am not an altaholic. I would rather spend all my time doing everything on Delmon. He is a level 90 weaponsmith. He is a 450 transmuter. He is a 450 tinkerer. He has maxed out all his abilities, all the languages. He's hardcore into shiny gathering and book collecting and all these other things. So anything in game that I can do, I do take advantage of, other than appearance armor and house decorating.
Right.
However, I will say, though, even though I'm not into appearance armor, I do have an appearance. I look like a guy wearing mismatched armor. A pair of gloves that I got from this encounter, a pair of legs that I got from this encounter, a cloak from this encounter. I actually like the fact that I look like the set of Sanford and Son in armor. I like that it doesn't match because to me, it looks like how I got it. I went on all these adventures and I collected all these things. I don't think in the medieval ages that the knights all made sure that their armor matched. I think they wore them as they got them and compiled them and put them together. So I kind of like that I don't match. To me, that is an appearance.
So you are, that sounds a little role play.
I am. I will admit, as much as I in the past have made fun of role players and do tease them, I am a role play light person. I do role play light. If given an option of a quest reward between a high elf chair and a dwarven chair, I'm going to grab the dwarf chair, even if it doesn't look as pretty as the other one. But again, because it's dwarven, like, prepare to laugh at me, Allie, I did actually back in the day buy a pet to put in my house.
Wow.
And the pet that I bought, even though I wasn't really keen on it because I didn't think that fit my character. I bought him because of his title or his name. He was a Kaladim Tunnel Cat. So I bought a cat and put him in my house and I named him Kazon. And for some of the lore folks out there, Kazon was the name of the dwarves, the king of the dwarves, in EverQuest 1. So yes, I do roleplay light. I do appreciate the story. I like that about EverQuest 2 in that there is a story to all this stuff. When you're going on a raid, the mob that you're killing, well, he has a backstory to him of why you're going in to kill him or why you're doing this encounter. I enjoy that, or the interrelations. I mean, you think of all the dragons in game, right? You were talking about them earlier. They all have stories, and they're all interrelated. They're offsprings of each other. They hate each other. They're working together. They have their own mission statement. There's reasons for why this stuff is there.
So you're kind of a lore junkie, too.
Absolutely, because to me, it's part of the game, and I want to understand why this guy sent me to go kill 10 rats. There should be a reason for doing it. As much as I dislike killing 10 rats, but if there's a reason behind it, if there's a story behind it, I enjoy doing it. Because I feel like I'm completing the story. Remember those book quests that used to drop pages back in the day? Every time I would drop a page and you'd have to kill 10 of something. Remember kill 10 by 3 by 10 or something like that?
Yeah.
And every time you killed a row across, you got a new page of the book. I would almost stop and read the book because I was interested in these stories. I was interested to see what was going on in this book. Not just killing 10 giants to get the next page, but what's this story in this book about? How does it fit into the world of EverQuest? I do like that because, to me, if it didn't have that, it could just be a console game, a first-player shooter console-type game that I could play on the Wii or on the PlayStation 3 or anything like that. The story gives me a reason or a desire to keep coming back and doing more and being sucked into it further. It's like being part of the movie. I get to decide what happens next. I feel like I'm an integral part of the story. I've always said one of the best quests in game is the ring. Is it Ring of Fate from Majdul? Do you remember that one?
Yes.
Where but you were?
I still haven't finished it.
Oh, that's too bad. That's an awesome quest. We should do that sometime. You work for each of the faction houses, and you do the storyline. You get the truth, the coin, and I can't think of the other one, and the tears.
The blade.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, the Duke boys. And you're doing these stories and these quests, and they're all interrelated. And as you're going, you don't understand why you're doing them, but as you're doing them and you're understanding each of these faction houses' roles in relation to the Court of Tears, and then all of a sudden you do something, you do a tower, and the city changes. I was affecting the storyline. I made the world of Norrath different because of my play. That, to me, is the best part of the game. I like that. I like when something I do affects the game and affects other people's, you know, playing of the game, not talking about ruining their experience, but now the city is overrun with orcs or something because I was doing the quest storyline, and that's what happens in this phase of the quest. The Court of Tears comes running out and overtakes the city. I love that sort of part of the game. I like that.
You're a better person than I am. I'm one of those people who, you know, I want to read everything, but I don't because I feel like I just don't have enough time.
Well, I'll tell you, when I'm playing...
I have to disagree with something you said.
Okay, fair enough.
You said, if it weren't for the books or the lore or whatever, it would be just like a console game. I completely disagree.
Okay.
Because you can play without doing everything. You can play without role-playing, and it's still an MMO. You can play without really getting totally addicted to the lore. I mean, you know, you should know a little bit, but... You don't have to. You can still play, and it's still an MMO, and it's still interacting. You can still have the guild experience, the raid experience, the group experience without those elements, if you want to. And that's one of the things I like about it, is that it appeals to just about anybody's play style. You don't have to be everything, and you don't have to be the top raider or the total lore addict who reads every single book and collects every single thing. You know, you don't have to do, you actually don't have to do anything, and you can still enjoy the game.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with your point there. And I think that's one of the very nice things about games like EverQuest, and especially about EverQuest, is there are so many different ways to have fun in game. Let me just caveat what I was saying earlier with a little bit is, for me, if there wasn't that story behind all these things, I would feel like I was just playing another game. It wouldn't have the depth. It would have length and width, maybe, but it wouldn't have depth to it. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't be sucked into the story as much. It would just be kind of going by left to right. So I like that because it draws me in, and I'm always interested to see what happens next. I think that Madge Duel, again, I always used to say when I was doing it, my goodness, every one of these faction houses is out to screw me. But I want to see how they're going to screw me this time, you know, because they all had their own mission statements. And the stories were well written that tied them together. They weren't just these loose pieces. There was an integral overall story arc to that city, that expansion, and the whole game. It all fits together like a giant jigsaw puzzle. And I like seeing those pieces click together when you're putting the puzzle together, and you see the mosaic that it becomes. Does that make sense, or is that too deep?
It does. Oh, no, that's okay. Wonderful.
But you're very right in that. That's my play style and my play experience. Somebody else may say, you know what, I'm not interested in that depth. I just want to get the badass gear and go kill the biggest dragon and go home. I don't want to read the story. I just want to go out and kill it, and I want to look at ACT and figure out how to min-max my DPS. That's what's fun to me. And that's the beauty of the game, because each of these people with all their different play styles can all be playing the same game and take something different away from it. And for me, at times, I move in and out of those various play styles a little bit. Uh-huh. So I always, like I said, I want to get my $15 worth a month. I want to do all the things. So sometimes I am a min-max raider, and sometimes I am a lore junkie. Maybe I'm a little bit more of a jack-of-all-trades and expert in none.
That's okay.
And it is, you're absolutely right, it is okay. Because, and to me, that is getting my $15 a month. I'm getting to experience everything that the development team has put out there for me.
Well, you would get to experience even more if you did a little shopping on the broker and found yourself a snazzy little outfit to wear for appearance armor. You could change on a weekly, monthly, yearly basis.
Well, again, I talked about my Sanford and Son armor set. I like that because if somebody clicks on me and they can see what adventures I have been on. I have the helm from Palace. I have the cloak from Labs. So they know where I've been. It's kind of like my badge of honor. This is the gear I've earned through my adventuring.
And you know, I like to show it off. People can still see that, even without, they can inspect you without your permission.
I know, but I, that's old school EQ1. You don't inspect without permission. I think because people used to think that you might be finding out that you're a twink or something. He twinks! Oh my god, no! That's so wrong!
That to me is just bizarre, that little cultural element.
Absolutely.
People getting offended.
I think that's died away in the past, but it was like that type of religion. Twinks are evil, but everybody was doing it. It's like sex. Nobody talks about it, but everybody does. Oh yeah! And I like it, too.
Oh, boy. We are supposed to be PG-13.
Don't go there.
So, can we talk a little bit about something new?
Absolutely. Are we going to do something blue later?
Something borrowed?
Yeah.
I think we wanted to talk a little bit about the most recent game update.
Yes, we did.
Game update 56 brought a whole bunch of new stuff.
Or as I call it, LVI.
Roman numerals?
Of course.
Do you call it that?
No, I really don't.
You just made that up?
I did. I had to do it real fast in my head.
You were thinking about Super Bowl, weren't you?
I was told there'd be no math. But here I am doing Roman numerals. That fifth grade education coming through. Kick ass now. Alright, so what came new in Game Update 56?
Oh, wow. Well, we got New Halas.
Yes, we did. What, have you been out to New Halas?
Yes.
Like it?
Yeah, it's pretty cool looking. I went out there to do all the quests, all the new quests, still.
Absolutely.
I have to admit, I was one of those level 90 people out there, mentored down to level 5 and level 10 and level 15 to do all the newbie quests.
I'll do you one better. I was out there, but I didn't bother mentoring down. I did it at level 90, And you're damn right I snapped those moms away from those noobs.
Wow. Really? Well, you know, all those noobs were probably alts.
And he's a level 90 and he stole my polar bear. Buck up, little buckaroo. Welcome to Dell's world.
You should try mentoring down sometime with our chronomentor system. It's
that costs money.
Actually, right, but you get AA out of it.
Yeah, and you know what? I feel like a big tough Templar nuking a level 5 polar bear for 1,400 points of damage. It makes me feel like a big man, and I go to bed happy.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a simple man.
So Dell likes to zerg everything.
Damn straight.
We got new Halas.
Look at it this way. If the mobs could, they'd zerg me. It's only fair.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, new Halas. I have to say what I'm most excited about new Halas is to see Khaldane dwarves, because what Khaldane dwarves mean is Velius. And if Velius is the next expansion, I'm looking forward to it. Velius, one of my favorite ones from EverQuest One days. But so it's kind of like a little prelude to that as well. And it continues the whole Mar storyline with Methaniel, is that his name? And Irelisi and that. So it continues that storyline a little bit. And I think it is another nice, well laid out newbie area.
I think it's very well laid out.
It is certainly a change from old school EverQuest 2, where you were kind of just plunked in this place and you had to kind of figure it all out on your own and you didn't know where to go. They have come a long way in smooth progression quest lines. Mm-hmm. Start here, do this quest hub, move to the next one, go to the next one, and the story continues. And there was a story as to why these adventurers were out there and why you needed to help them. So it wasn't just go kill 6 polar bears and bring me back 6 hides. There was a story to it. So I thought that was good. If you read what they had to say, yes, there was.
I'm sorry. I'm a bad person. And then I'm a click-thrower. Sorry.
So in that respect, I did enjoy it. And then it leads to the city. I did think, it once again, EQ2 team outdoes itself with artwork.
Yeah, it's amazing.
The world looks spectacular. And I enjoyed it for that. And it completes that immersion feeling. I feel this is what the world would really look like. That looks like real ice. It doesn't look like cartoon Disney ice or dwarves. This is what they'd really look like if they were real.
Did you have a favorite part of New Halas?
Okay, what was yours? Maybe it'll spur me on to think of something.
It was, as I'm clicking through everything, I'm picking up a little bit of the story.
Okay.
And there's a part where you're sent, you basically discover you're taking, well, I don't want to ruin anything for anybody who hasn't done it, but you can always fast forward over the podcast. There's a part where you are sort of looking through the eyes of this orc, and you go under the water and you discover there's a tunnel.
Ah, yes. There was a little playing movie.
And there's a little movie.
Yes.
And it's so cool. It is so cool. I actually gasped when I saw that. I don't know.
I had completely forgotten about that. Absolutely. And now that you remind me of it, it's those sort of things, because I didn't know it was coming, that catch me off guard. And I watched the movie and I'm like, holy wow, that is really cool.
Yeah.
And there was one back when the Order of Rhyme showed up. Remember back in Fens, wasn't it?
Fens.
Yeah. And you're running along, and I hit the trigger line for the movie, and it just popped in. I'm like, what's this?
Yeah.
Again, it caught me off guard, so it was even more exciting. If I had read it on Fens, I'm like, oh, movie. But now I get to see it as part of the storyline. I was really drawn into it. Absolutely. Yeah.
And the way it's got cinematography, and it's just those little movies, even though, you know, we've seen them now a little bit here and a little bit there. The ones where you go into a zone and you have to see it every single time, they get a little tedious. But the first time, it's like a mini movie. And it is so, so cool. I love those.
If there was one feedback I'd love to see them add to the game, it would be once you trigger a movie like that, if there was some like / movie play command, or I could play it on demand again later.
That's a pretty neat idea. You should feedback that.
I certainly have.
Feedback.
I certainly have, and I'd love to see them include that. Because sometimes I don't catch the beginning of it, or, of course, something happens in the room or something like that. You drop your pen or something. the phone rings and you kind of miss something, it would be nice to be able to replay them on demand. Or sometimes even if you're bored for a few minutes, hey, let me watch that again. I enjoyed it the first time. So slash movie command or something like that, which brings up a menu and I can choose all the ones from in-game that we've already seen, replay them when I want to watch them again.
That would be a cool thing.
Yeah, absolutely. What else do we have with that? Have you tried any of the new raids out?
Well, there were two. I've been to both.
How did those go?
Well, the Icy Keep. That's what it's called, right? Icy Keep.
Icy Keep Retribution or something.
Yep. Yeah. Been there several times now. I kind of like it. I think it's pretty fun. I'm the kind of person, though, with the fact that there are quests in there, I don't like doing quests in a raid.
They can be a little distracting.
It's because, well, because I kind of want to look at it. I want to look at everything, and I want to know what I'm supposed to do. I don't want to screw anything up and lock myself out of any content. Yep. So when you're on a raid, you know, it sort of feels like I feel rushed through that my normal quest process. But I think it's an interesting little thing. It may be difficult for somebody who, like me, who feels like they have to do every single quest in the entire game, because there are items that drop that are basically quests, and when you finish that quest, you get the reward. So my raid group is you have to use DKP to get those items.
Okay.
And it's driving me nuts because there are some that aren't raid ranger items.
But you still want to bid on
them. I'm never going to have them. So my thought is, well, maybe in a year when this content is old, or a year and a half, I can do like a throwback raid and then get those just for the quest starter, just like in...
The Three Thinkers had one, Shard of Hate had one.
Right.
And
Shard of Hate had two or three, I believe.
Yep.
And also, well, I guess those are the only raid zones. But in any case, so that's kind of distracting, but I think it's kind of interesting to have those there. Go back repeatedly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Replayable content.
Makes other people want to go back, too. So it's not just, well, I've seen that already. Let's go do something different. No, people want to go back there because they want to get their drops for the item they bid DKP on. Or they want to finish the quest. Or they want to, even if maybe we're working on something and it feels like it's bugged, people still want to go back. That zone I kind of like. And I think a lot of people like that zone. And it's something, you know what? What I actually had written down for that zone is doable. It's not where you go in, you kill a whole ton of trash, you get to a mob, and then you have to work on it for an hour and a half or whatever. It's, I wouldn't say easy, but it's easier than some of the other raid zones out there. And so it's something to do when maybe you're stuck in, you know, Palace of Ronthir, or, you know, or maybe you don't have the right raid setup to go do whatever's on the agenda.
Right,
I'm
right.
Drawing a complete blank right now for some reason on all the raid zones.
No problem. I think you make a very good point there. With both of these two raid zones, Icy Keep Retribution and the Underfoot Depths, they are on very different ends of the spectrum in terms of difficulty. Icy Keep is a little bit more casual, don't necessarily need 24 decked out in the latest and greatest top fabled.
But it's challenging enough.
It's challenging enough, and I think it's a good fit for that. I heard a lot of people complain at the beginning, oh, it's too easy, or the loot's not that great.
Well, I think it's too easy for a small group of people, and they have plenty of other things that they can do.
Absolutely. But I think it fits a good...
With me, and they're shaking their fists at the monitor right now.
I'm sure there are.
Don't say that!
But, so, you know, it filled a spot for that type of player. Not everybody is killing Rowan Thier. So they don't, everything shouldn't be geared for that. They have to create stuff for everybody. And I think both of these kind of things fit that. There's stuff for the guys who are at the top end and for folks who are kind of starting out. They don't need super uber mega DPS to be successful, and they can still get some gear that for them is probably an upgrade. And I like the token systems and that sort of stuff. I think that is good as long as we don't create too many more tokens in game.
When you say tokens, what are you referring to? You're talking about the
shards or
oh, you mean the ones in Icy Keep?
Yeah, exactly. There's more of them now. They're red-looking shield ones.
Oh, the red ones, sorry. Weren't there blue ones? What are the blue ones?
There are blue ones as well, aren't there? The blue ones are the normal shards.
I don't know. I carry them all around with me, and I have one giant backpack, basically, for all of those.
Let me say this. One thing about when I'm playing is I have to be honest, I'm not very good at names of things. Mm-hmm. I know exactly where it is in my bag, like you say, and I know exactly what it looks like. Yep. One's blue and it's got one arc, and one's blue and it's got three arcs going the other way. I know one's from the raid and one's from, the heroic. Oh, I know the difference. I just can't put my finger on the name of what each one of those are. And that's why we said earlier, we're not a good database reference.
Right.
We know the zone that's over there. And we know what, it's that one over there that you fly to the left.
Right.
But can I put my finger on the name of it at the moment? It's killing me. No.
Those are just go look it up if you need to know. On a real database.
So I think both of these raid zones, as I was saying, make a good match for two different player bases.
I agree.
For folks on either end of the spectrum. And I think for folks who can Zerg it and overwhelm it, it was too easy, but it wasn't designed for you. Mm-hmm. That's what some of the other stuff is for. So.
Right. Well, Underfoot Depths went in there once, got various body parts handed to us rapidly, and haven't put it back on the schedule. So basically all I have for my notes on Underfoot Depths, really hard.
We got to the first named encounter, I think, and many pulled that and went through many Mender bots, I think, in the process. I think for us, it's still a little step ahead of us where we are in the progression. So there, like you say, there are other zones that we can be working on. Maybe that one is a little too difficult for us at this point. I think it's a little too easy for us. We're still doing it on off nights or when we have low numbers or not a good lineup, like you say, because that's not geared to us. And certainly we're in the middle, I think, of the two.
Well, the Underfoot Depths, we sort of just, because it was the first time in there, we sort of just went in and didn't really have any information, which I think you should be able to do. You should be able to fly by the seat of your pants in a raid.
Okay.
My opinion. Because, and I've said this for a long time, years of various games. I shouldn't have to go look something up outside of the game, but I'm the first one to go do it, if it exists.
Absolutely, and I agree, you should be able to fly by the seat of your pants, but you shouldn't, in a raid, you shouldn't necessarily be successful on the first pull.
Absolutely not.
If the content is designed for you.
Right. If you want to, and you can, here's the thing, I think you can in EQ2. If you go with no information, and you know that you're going to die multiple times, and maybe spend 2 hours, and have no success in actually dropping anything, but you can go and learn the encounter, I think that can be just as fun as actually killing the mob, if you're actually learning something.
Yeah, if each pull gets progressively better or you learn a new thing, I don't have problems dying if I'm learning or figuring out act timers or what damage was that it's doing, or did anybody see an animation, or did you see an emote? So I don't mind dying while learning. I mind dying foolishly. But if there's a method to the madness and there's something to be learned from it.
I like dying foolishly.
I get tired of it after a while. I do want to be successful.
You learning would be a is very success. Bad, be very bad ranger, Del.
Probably. That's why in all my mules I don't even have one.
Wow. You should play one. I bet you'd be an addict.
Not gonna happen. If I did, I would make a dark elf ranger, name him Trissett Dwarden.
Well, you would just probably betray over to Assassin.
Yeah, because it's all about the DPS. Loot skills. Another change they made in 56 was the travel system. Totally revamped. What do you think of that?
I love the maps.
Okay.
Before, we used to get a list of places that we could go. right?
You yep. Yep.
Click on the bell or whatever, and list pops up. Well, I got to decide where I'm going to go. We still get that list, and I think somebody had posted this on the forum somewhere, but, you know, I'm like, why do I like the system? Because I don't know where anything is. I am navigationally challenged. But with this map, look at that. I know where things are to each other, and it makes a lot more sense. Even though I've been playing the game for almost 6 years, I think I like it. I think the map is cool. It's not very handy if you're trying to run away from something, but in reality, if you were trying to go somewhere, would you really be able to run away just by clicking a bell or ringing a bell?
Probably not. I'll say
this. I don't like the maps.
I'll say this. I was not a big proponent when I first heard about this thing. I was like, what do we need another change for? We don't need that. That system's fine as is. It's fine. Why are they wasting time and effort on that?
Because there were way too many bells.
In hindsight, they were right and Dell was wrong.
Absolutely.
Now, having seen the new system, I do think it is a good redesign of a kludgy system from before that had grown up in many different ways due to various expansions and add-ons and that sort of stuff. There became all this stuff that was kind of bubble-gummed and duct-taped and band-aided together, and it was very confusing. It did not make for a smooth gameplay. I cannot imagine, as a new player, trying to figure out how to get around in-game. So I can certainly see how this has improved it. However, though, as a experienced player, I don't much care for the map because when I go to click on that thing, especially like the ship wheel one or the spinning globe one, which has almost the entire world, I spend some time, not a lot of time, I spend some time trying, where is Sinking Sands? Where is Sinking Sands?
It's at the bottom.
Where is this? Where is? And I'm
but
looking.
But that's around. Why you need to get used to new things. You need to get over the thing that's holding you back as an old player, a veteran player. Just get over that.
Right. Well, here would be my compromise.
Get with the program.
Give me the player an option. I can have the map.
That's too much. This is the game. This is the game. This is the game that it is. Why do you want them to go spend all of this time and effort to give you an option because you can't get your head into the, you know, 2010?
Because
that's too much burden when I would rather have them be putting more content in the game instead of giving you some backwards compatible system because you're too stubborn as a player.
No, I think in this case, I would argue that it would appeal to both the new player and the veteran player. The default can be the map, or with just a checkbox, hide map and give me an alphabetical list.
But that's
and
more,
have me give me the ability as the player to choose which I would like.
Now, well, you got me with the choose argument, okay?
But not
everything in life is choosable.
No, but ideally, customizable would be nice to cater to both.
So customizable.
Just
everything
give me a list.
Is
That's
so
all.
Customizable.
I'm not saying I spend an inordinate amount of time trying to find Stonebrunn Highlands.
Then deal with it.
I am dealing with it. I would just like, if given the option, maybe I would convert to a checklist.
Well, you know,
a list.
If given the option, I would like to have cookies every time I click on the bell, too. But that's not going to happen. And I'm dealing with that fact.
All right. I'm just saying it would be nice.
Am I being too harsh?
I don't know what it would take to design. I'm just saying it would be nice.
Okay. All right. It might be nice. It might be nice. But I think if you give it a little more time, you might be able to deal with it.
Absolutely. And I, you know, as I said originally, I did not
care. You know what? I really believe in a year's time or 6 months' time even, you're just not even going to remember that it was a big deal. Because let me tell you, when I don't know, you weren't affected by this, but they at some point changed the stance on elves. I'm a wood elf, and I know what I look like. And when I logged in one time, all of a sudden, I looked like a robot. And I was devastated. I was devastated. I couldn't play. I was totally, this is ridiculous, but I couldn't play for at least a day that's just an eternity. But I couldn't look at myself. I looked like a plastic doll. And I was devastated. I was feedbacking. I was begging. Could you? I was writing stories about my character. Why, you know, she's, you know, a little bit of role play in there too. About, you know, what's wrong with her? She's something's. You know, it was horrible. It was the worst thing you could possibly have done to elves. But over time, that pain gradually faded away. And now I was just thinking about this the other day. I'm like, wow, you know, I forgot about that. And they haven't changed it. They haven't changed us back to the way we used to look, but I've gotten used to the way my character looks now. I think you'll get used to the map.
I will.
And it won't even phase you.
It will. I will get accustomed to it over time, the more I use it. And I do think in hindsight, it was a good change. I think it is good for the betterment and longevity
of the game. Functionally no different. Functionally, it's no different. You have to click on the bell, and then a list pops up, and you click on...
No, a list does not pop up. No, a list doesn't.
No, it's a map. I understand, but it's a name that you have to click, and then you have to click OK. It's the same functional number of clicks.
Absolutely.
It's just an added feature of being able to visualize where you're going in relation to where you're coming from.
And if there was one additional thing I would like to see made, perhaps changed, that give us the option to hide certain zones, perhaps. There is Frostfang Sea, which is where New Hellas is.
And the Fang Sea.
The Fang Sea. And
which
many
is
people,
the boat ride, which one of our raid leaders clicked us into, and the entire group went on the boat ride. And we were, and I was all excited. I'm like, whoa, we unlocked some raid content. I was so excited. And then I realized...
Same exact thing happened to us the other night, and many people whose calls were down were frustrated by it. So I think those would be two enhancements that I would like maybe see made, is give us the ability to hide certain zone names that we don't want on the map anymore, like that one.
I don't know. I'm more of the, if people would stop asking for these teeny tiny changes that are insignificant in the grand scheme of things and really don't, I mean, how many times does this really happen? And you learn the difference between the Fang Sea and the Frostfang Sea, right?
When I did it myself the first time, I said, well, I'm not going to do that again. And I am more conscious.
Yeah. And it's just, I don't know. I feel like we're spoiled. We are spoiled that they listen to us.
Damn it. They should listen to us. We're customers, Allie.
Yes, I know. But, I've been on both sides of this argument, but in this case, I really feel like we are spoiled by how much we get of what we ask for.
Absolutely.
Do we really want to ask for this? Do we really want to ask for them to give us more ways to customize this travel system map? Is that really what you want the dev team to spend their time doing?
I will say this. I don't know what the answer to that is, but all I can say is I don't know how complicated it would be to implement, because I didn't write the code to the game, right? So by making it a suggestion, either they can say, you know what, it's a good idea, but we're not going to really do it. We don't want to invest the time, and it's either too hard, or we don't want to make the system more convoluted than it might already be, or change it around again on folks. Okay, that's fine. But we took your idea about something else, and we're going to use that idea in somewhere else. I mean, think back to the dressing room.
Yeah.
That wasn't something we had at launch.
Right.
But it kind of maybe an idea or something spurred, listening to people say, gee, I wish we had a way to see what it looked like before we, you know, bid DKP on it or something like that. And some member of the team said, you know, maybe we could try something like that. Maybe it takes a year for them to implement something like that, because they dedicate 5 minutes a day before they go home to it or something like that, right? But at least it's out there, or it's on a list. Maybe somebody's looking for something new, or an apprentice for something them to work on or something like that. So I don't think asking is wrong.
No, I don't think it's wrong either, but I think it's wrong to get upset about things.
I'm not upset about it. I'm not trying to say that I'm upset. It would be gee, if they were going to look for an enhancement to it or new ideas for it, this would be something I would like them to see. Put on the enhancement request form, the wish list form, or something like
that. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. You're loud.
Thank you.
But I'm allowed to have an opinion, too.
So. And damn it, they better have it done before Game Update 57, or they'll be Dell to pay.
Good. They'll be Dell to pay. Good luck with that one.
All right. Hey, we're getting a little long in the tooth, so maybe we should wrap up episode one. We have an inaugural ball to get to after this. I got to get my tux on.
Well, we want to thank everybody for listening to this week's show. And don't forget to visit your local grocery store to pick up some Duncan Hines Apple Cinnamon Muffin Mix, our sponsor this week. And if you like the show, pass on our link to your friends and guildmates. It's eq2talk.com. Pretty easy to remember. If you have anything you want to complain about, suggest to us for the next show, if there's anything you want us to talk about, you can send us an email. I'm at alicious@eq2talk.com. That's A-L-I-S-C-I-O-U-S.
And folks can reach me via email as well. And I'm Delmon, that's D-E-L-L-M-O-N, @EQ2Talk. Hey, we should probably give them our in-game addresses as well, huh?
Alrighty. You can reach me at in-game at eq2.unrest.alicious.
And I'm on Unrest as well, so for me that's eq2.unrest.delmon as well. Hey, thanks everybody for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed the show. And say goodnight, Allie.
Goodnight, Allie.